Please be seated. What a pleasure to have these ordinations in this cathedral. I just want to acknowledge that and to thank Bishop Steve Thomason and the whole cathedral community for welcoming us and back and hosting us here today. So, I'm minding my own business, taking Brody, the darling dog I'm dog-sitting, out through my front yard for a walk in my neighborhood right at the back of Discovery Park. I'm minding my own business when out of the corner of my eye, I see something moving in the underbrush in my yard, something a little over a foot tall. I froze, and as I turn around, ready to pull Brody back from it because I don't know what it is, I realize that it's a chicken. It's a chicken. Fast forward a few hours, Brody's been walked and is safely back in the house but is watching my every move from the front window. I've put out birdseed and a bowl of water, and said chicken has eaten and drunk her fill a number of times. She's also allowed me to pet her soft, brown, feathered back. Fast forward another hour or so, I've gone back to doing whatever inside activity I was doing and have decided to let the chicken do whatever it does. I come back out to see if she's still there, like every 5 minutes, and behold, a second chicken. And then later, a third appears, each gladly sharing in the seed and the water put out for the first. In the meantime, I've been keeping husband Eric informed. He can see my excitement, my glee, and says to me, "Melissa, we are not keeping these chickens." To which I reply, "Eric Stroh, you are a deacon in the Church of God, someone who figures out how to care for the lost and the least. You are a deacon, my husband. No, we are not keeping these chickens, but we must care for them. We must find their home." I cannot fully describe what a role reversal this is for us. Eric, a deacon of the church, is usually Mr. Tenderhearted, and I am, I'm Ms. Let's move things along, please. But the sight of, the sound of, the feel of those darn chickens, they strangely pierced my soul, I'm not exaggerating, and stole my heart. Today is all about pierced souls and stolen hearts. God piercing the soul and stealing the heart of one St. Francis of Assisi in a way that leads him to becoming the lover of all. God piercing the souls and stealing the hearts of three people who will stand before us to be ordained deacons of the Church of God today, and through them, God's ongoing act of piercing our souls, stealing our hearts for the care of others, for the sake of the world. Today is all about pierced souls and stolen hearts. First, St. Francis. Many of us have had multiple celebrations of St. Francis already. St. Francis, whom we remember today, St. Francis, a person who had a series of soul-piercing, heart-stealing experiences of God that culminated part of the way through his time with his fully identifying with Christ and his wounds on the cross. Francis, who based on these experiences was unable to do anything but respond empathetically to other human beings and to creation itself, because that's what God did first. God in Christ took the vulnerabilities and pains not only of human beings, but of the whole creation into God's very self. And so Francis, with his God-pierced, God-stolen heart, had to respond to the leper, had to live an undefended life that removed all barriers between himself and the poor, that removed all barriers between himself and the creatures of the earth, that removed all barriers between himself and the natural elements, all of them, and the rhythms of the earth itself. Which brings me and us to the three people who will come before us today to be ordained deacons in the Church of God. Lynette, whose soul was pierced and whose heart was stolen years ago in her work with the State Department and work internationally, period, and her experience interacting and having heart for people different from herself, an experience that has been rekindled at St. Luke's San Lucas in Vancouver, Washington, a bilingual and multicultural congregation, just perfect for her. Kay, whose soul was pierced and whose heart was stolen by her own experience in the margins of her life and by her work with people on the margins. Kay, who has turned her experience into teaching others about acting as companions to those who have either experienced trauma themselves or have experienced other kinds of things that can isolate and alienate. And finally, there's Lisa, a climate scientist whose soul has been pierced and whose heart has been stolen by the plight of the earth and its creatures. Lisa, raised up for the diaconate by this cathedral, but who has been living and serving at Trinity Church on First Hill, where she said to me she has been able to live and serve at the ground level of the impact of climate change on individuals and on the communities there. We are ordaining these three and no others to the diaconate today. These three and no others. And so what has pierced them, what has stolen their hearts, should matter to us because, friends, in their ordinations, we're asking them to play a role with us and as individuals and within our congregations in opening ourselves to be pierced in new ways, in opening ourselves to have our hearts stolen in new ways. For you see, and I'm a fan of the diaconate, you probably know this, that is the point of the diaconate, to go out there and in both a boundaried, get this, a boundaried and undefended way to allow the pains, to allow the questions, to allow the struggles, to allow the joys of the world into their souls and hearts. That's the point. And of course, there's more. For without buckling under the responsibility and the burden, they are to carry those very things back to us in the church in a way that pierces our souls, that steals our hearts, and finally, that animates us for action in and toward a world that needs us, especially now. And so whether it's a group of lost chickens that wanders into your little green patch of the earth, that's an image for many things, isn't it? Things that wander into our little patch of the world, whether it's relating to people without homes who need a home, whether it's encountering people who've suffered trauma or are suffering from loneliness, whether it's any situation of injustice or conflict that needs a voice, a friend, or an advocate, deacons are the conduit, or rather the emotional, informational, and relational electric wire that carries pain, ambiguity, struggle, and joy, and a message to act to all of us. I'm overly enthusiastic, sorry. Calm down. Yes, please. And so Lisa, Kay, and Lynette, we are asking a lot of you. And in this ordination, we are saying to you that we need you and want you to do this, that we believe you can do this, and that thanks be to God, you do not have to do this alone. For just as Francis himself discovered, Jesus, in taking on flesh, in living our own lives, and in dying our death, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is our wounded, our joyful companion along the way. And that companionship of the wounded and joyful one always has a way of drawing others into the relationships and the work, as Francis discovered. And so I want to end with circling back to my story about the chickens and giving credit where real credit is due to the deacon I know the most fully. Yes, I was the one who spotted the chickens and gave them a little seed and water and checked on them. Yes, I was the one who was the voice of God to the deacon in my life about our need to care for them and find their home. Yeah, I did those things. But he, the deacon, was the one who took me seriously, who listened to the voice of God. He, the deacon, was the one who found big boxes and with his bare hands caught those rascally chickens one by one. He, the deacon, was the one who drove them and me to a little house in Tukwila, right near the Duwamish River, to deposit them to a new home that he had found for them because they'd been dumped. He found them a place that included a large fenced area with two magnificent palatial coops. Deacons. Deacons do those things. Lisa, Kay, and Lynette, soon to be ordained deacons in the church, help us. Help us to open our souls. Help us to give our hearts. And importantly, help us, in companionship with Blessed Francis and with the crucified and risen Christ by our side, help us to act.